everyone, it's Devin. Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place.
Yay! Before we dive into our main topic, before I forget, because I know I will, I wanted to mention, for all of our listeners out there, that I got a Fable account, and we started a book club for Egg, which is Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy.
I feel like we should just start calling everybody
I feel like we call eggs. It Egg all the time, but I don't know if we've ever called it that on the show.
I don't think so, but we can all be eggheads.
Eggheads, yeah. There's a t-shirt opportunity in there somewhere.
Yes.
But anyway, we started a book club on Fable, so you can download the Fable app and go and follow us and join in. We're going to be reading a new book every month, and then at the end of the month, we're going to be talking about the book that we read. So we're hoping that we can get some interaction with listeners and bring sort of you guys into the conversations that we have on the show. So please go and follow us on there. Our first book is Curse of Saints by Kate Dramas, which I have a very weird story about, which you'll have to wait.
I'm so excited to find out more. To hear this weird story. We'll also be recording an episode for every book club read that we have. And so hopefully the goal is to have questions and comments and opinions from Fable and bringing them into the episode, so that way we can discuss with everyone. So if you're interested, like Loretta said, join us. Come on in.
Go and find us. Yeah. It's called Emo Girl's Guide, so you can search Fable for that on there, or we'll link it out in the notes of this episode. And it's in my links too, if you go on my Instagram or whatever. So just come and find us.
Yeah. Oh, I should add that. I don't think I have it on my links, but I will add that. Good note.
Get on it, Dave.
Yeah. I'm slacking.
I think it's, I also added it to the links on our Emo Girls Guide, I almost called it Egg again, on our Emo Girls Guide links. So go and find us there. But anyway, this episode is all about Shadowhunters, because we have an addiction and it's a problem.
it's an addiction and it's not hurting anybody, so you know what?
You know
Let us live our lives.
We're living our best lives, yeah. But Dev and I both spent an obscene amount of money on the Lit Joy Crate editions of the Mortal Instruments. And, we're here to, it has little annotations in it by Cassie Clare, and we're here to share those with you in case you are sane and didn't spend an obscene amount of money on the annotated
versions.
Right?
That's a good way to put it. Like, we bought them so that way you don't have to, and you know everything that's in
there. We're saving you money and sanity.
And you get the inside scoop. We're gonna share the insider information because we're that nice. Cool. So I'll jump in. I'm probably going to hand it right back over to Loretta because we split up the books. But anyway, we went into the Lit Joy Crate editions of, the Mortal Instruments. So I have one right here. We'll take pictures. We'll post them on Instagram. They're so pretty. The inside has artwork in it, and they also have handwritten annotations by Cassie on specific pages, giving her inside scoop of what she was thinking when she was writing the series. So Loretta went through the first half of the series, I went through the second half of the series, and we're just gonna walk through what Cassie has to say. There's some interesting stuff in here, I'm not gonna lie. Some of it was just like, this
there's
scene
a lot of throwaway
so
comments.
Sad, or like, poor Jace. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we read it, we know, we cried.
At one point she's like, poor Hodge, and I'm like, would we say poor Hodge? Would we? You sure about that?
You sure about that? So I will toss it back over to Loretta. We'll go through each book as they were written.
Also, just like, in case you didn't figure it out already, there will be lots of spoilers for what happens in this series. So just buyer beware.
Listener beware that we will be spoiling the Mortal Instruments.
Literally everything so in this series.
If you haven't read this series in, let's see, when was this book published? I don't even know when City of Bones came out.
Over a decade.
Like, it's been more than 10 years, so.
It's been, has it been 20? Dear God, let please don't see. Tell me it's I'm been checking. 20 years.
2000,
I read this when I was 17. 2008,
so almost.
Okay, that makes sense. That was my senior year of high school.
Yeah, 2008 was...
Oh my god, it's almost been 20
the
years.
The first book. So if you haven't read them yet, get on that. So
this is weird. What a weird thing to realize. anyway.
Well, we're going through our middle-aged dread now. Thank you.
I know. Cassie. Listen to us have an existential crisis live on air. So, I skipped all of the stuff that, like, didn't matter. I tried to only make note of stuff that was, like, adding to the conversation or that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. So, the first one I wrote is that the Pandemonium Club, she said, is based off of a real goth nightclub called The Bank, and it closed in 1999, which I thought was really cool. And I'm also sad that it's not a place that exists still, because I want to go to a goth club.
I do, too. That sounds fun.
What does that even mean? I need to know. I'm picturing Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I want to be there.
I'm, like, going through my book so I can follow along. So I can read it.
And then, something I thought was fun was when Jace brings Clary to the Institute. You know, she passes out. And he's like, if you wanted me to take my clothes off, all you had to do was ask. Yes. And then she passes out for, like, 3 days. She's in the infirmary and there's a conversation between Alec and Isabel where they're like, oh my god, she's been asleep for so long. And, I don't know. They're just talking. And then, I think Isabel is like, where's Jace been? Why hasn't he visited her at all? And Cassie made a note and said, people always ask why Jace doesn't visit Clary in the infirmary. And it wasn't because he didn't care. It was because he cared too much.
It's sad for me to look back at these books as an adult and be like, wow, Jace was just like a softer version of Edward Cullen. Like,
I was literally just about to say, I just finished reading Midnight Sun and I read that and I was like, okay, Edward.
Like, he's so emo, but I feel down. Like the difference, the reason why I was so obsessed with him is because he masked it with, like, his sarcasm and his humor.
Yeah, he's, at least he's funny, you know?
Yeah, like, at least he knows that he's
Edward's,
good looking.
Edward
and
is
just
broody
like,
and, like, doesn't have a personality.
He, like, leans into that. He leans into, like, that bad boy. Like, I know I'm good looking. I know I'm funny. Mm-hmm. But, like, deep down inside, he's, like, hella traumatized, and I'm like, you know, my type of guy.
Well, the funniest people are just filled with trauma.
Like, I will stand by Jace Herondale being the best. I don't know, James might be up there. I might have to switch their rankings, but...
You're gonna switch the rankings?
I might have to, but I won't. Oh my god. I won't throw out that bombshell right now.
I can't comment yet, because I still haven't finished
it. I know, I can't accurately depict my love for James until you finish, so we'll see.
I mean, book one, James was pretty great. I'm still deeply in love with Will Herondale, so. Specifically Dad Will Herondale.
Yeah.
After all of the broodiness.
After he gets over his, like, mean boy trauma and he is nice, then he's cool. But, like, I could not care less about him in the Infernal Devices. But, like, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about the Mortal Instruments today.
Let's not
today.
Go into this again.
My TED Talk presentation is ready when everybody else is ready to hear my thoughts. But, like, we'll continue
you
on.
You have a slideshow.
We'll continue on with the original series. So, let's continue with City of Bones.
Okay, the next note that I thought was cool was... when Jace takes Clary to see the Silent Brothers, well, you know, when they, like, inspect her head or whatever, or go into her memories, I forget what they do. They go to a place in New York City called the Marble Cemetery, and Cassie said that that is a place that does actually exist. It doesn't look like the book at all. I mean, she made up what it looks like, but it is an actual place that you can go to, which I thought was cool.
I'm reading it right now. The Marble Cemetery really exists. It doesn't look like this, though.
Yeah.
That's cool. I need somebody who lives in New York to invite me over to, like, stay in their house for free so that way I could go do a New York Shadowhunter
tour. I was going to say, you did the L.A. version of the... Yeah, you did the L.A. version of the Shadowhunter tour. We need the New York version.
I know. I need to get on that. So if anybody out there...
We need to win the lottery so we can just go live in New York for
a month. Yeah, or we could just tour, like stay in an Airbnb. But since we haven't won the lotto, if anybody out there wants to house us for a good bit of time while we go explore all of the Shadowhunter locations.
Yeah, we'll share the Shadowhunter tour with you.
Yeah, let us know.
Also, going along with the Marble Cemetery theme, Cassie wrote that the idea for the City of Bones came to me in the Paris catacombs. Back in the 19th century, Paris transferred the dead from the cemeteries to this underground complex of tunnels and galleries where benches and tables and chandeliers were all made out of bones. You can visit it, very eerie. And I thought that was super cool. I was like, bone chandeliers?
Yeah. One of the things... Go ahead.
I knew that the... Paris catacombs were a thing, but I didn't really, like, know anything about it, so I thought that was cool.
I'm pretty sure, don't quote me, but I'm, like, 60% sure that Ghost Adventures did an episode in the Paris catacombs when they were, like, in Europe, but, like, I'll circle back on that. If it's true, I'll link that episode, but I am also very aware that those things exist, because I love all of things spooky and eerie, so.
If you didn't, I'd be worried, because you are a resident horror person.
I also realized, like, going through the books and reading her comments, that she is very, like, well-traveled, and she is very worldly. Is that, like, the right term I'm looking for? It's like, yeah, this was my favorite book in French, or, like, I used to live here and go to college, and I'm just like...
She had a comment like that in City of Glass, which I'll talk about later, but it's about how her and her boyfriend, who's now her husband, went to Italy, and so that's what she modeled the Idris town off of, and I was like, oh, cool. I don't know. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, I'm jealous. Like, I want to go and travel as much as you do.
Right? Take me with
you. Yeah.
Adopt me. okay, I tabbed this one in yellow because I was so upset about it. Right before the gang goes to Magnus's party and Simon turns into a rat and all that drama happens, it's so short too. It's like a really tiny paragraph that's like two sentences long of exposition. And it basically says that everyone splits up for the day before the party and they're all going off to do their own stuff. And Isabel and Simon go on a walk through Central Park. And there's a note that says, as we later learn in the TMI graphic novel, this was Isabel and Simon's first kiss. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
There's secret information in the graphic novels?
So if anybody wants to know what passage this is, and also what chapter it is, I think the chapter is called Magnus Bane. But the passage says, Jason Alec disappeared to the weapons room, and Isabel and Simon announced their intention of going for a walk in Central Park so that she could show him the fairy circles. Simon asked Clary if she wanted to come along. Stifling in murderous rage, she refused on the grounds of exhaustion. So, Clary is
It's like
still...
the shortest paragraph, and, like, nothing is said, but I was like, what?
Yeah, Clary is still, pissy with the whole crew, and now Simon and Izzy are, like, getting buddy-buddy. But anyway, that's the passage and the chapter, if anybody wants to go read it for themselves. But also, like, now I want to buy the graphic novels, but you were telling me that it's not one book equivalent, so I'm like...
No.
I don't have, like, I just spent a bunch of money on these books. Like, I don't have money to be buying all these graphic novels.
I don't have room for them.
I don't either. That's true, too.
When they first came out, I ran out and I bought the first two because I was like, graphic novels of this? Hell yeah. Sign me up. And then I got to the end of the first one. And it only goes up, I think, to Magnus's party, which is, like, the first half of this book. And I was so upset. I was like, what? You're not giving me one book.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about how many books it's going to take to finish this damn series.
I know. I wish.
Maybe they already did. I don't know. But
I wish that she would have chosen to do it the way that Percy Jackson was illustrated. So the first book has a illustrated edition, The Lightning Thief. And it's like a huge bound
colored
artwork book. And it's so beautiful. Like, I would have bought all of those illustrated editions. Like,
I'm pretty sure I bought that as a gift for somebody, and then I kept it because I loved
it's so,
it so
pretty.
Much.
Yeah, it's so nice. I wish that somebody would have decided to do
that. If she had done that, that would have been awesome.
I would buy every single Shadowhunter book as an illustrated edition with, like, colored pages. Yes. It could cost like,
Harry Potter. We don't talk about Harry Potter anymore because of J.K. Rowling, but, like, the Harry Potter ones, oh my god, that would be so dope.
Yeah. Too bad J.K. Rowling is a douchebag, but we don't talk about that.
A heinous bitch. Oh my god, give me an illustrated version of, like, the Codex or something.
Yeah, for real. But anyway, we digress. If anybody from Simon Teen is listening and they want to make us some illustrated editions, let us know. I'll pay good money.
The last thing made me lol, because it's about, you know, the big twist at the end, which is a dividing thing for all of us Shadowhunter fans. And that is the incestuous, anyway, I don't know why that happened. I don't like it, but all she had to say about it was, I think of all of my books, it was this twist that got me the most, no, it can't be true responses. I was so relieved when City of Glass came out and we all knew the truth. And I was like, you knew the truth the whole time, you're the writer. It made me laugh.
Also, I can't believe she waited the...
You throw in this huge wrench into the series and that's what you have to say about
it. I also just want to point out that she could have easily made it known in, like, book two, but she waited until book three, so I'm just like...
I love the way the movie did it.
I do, too. And I wish
that had been the real way that she did it.
I agree. I kind of... I don't know how people...
I knew the entire time that, like, they weren't really brother and sister, because, come on.
Yes, but you were reading it as an older teen. Like, this book is meant for, like, middle-aged teens, I guess?
Yeah, I was, like, 17 or 18. So I was like,
okay, yes, everybody who is older, who is probably reading this book, knows. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think I saw the movie before I read the book, so I also knew that, like, it wasn't a thing. I think. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure this was a series that I saw the movie first. And... I'm just like, why did you wait so long? Like, if it was that, it's, like, very traumatic. And, like, you could have easily just cleared it up the very beginning of book two. Like, it could have just been any other type of tension between them that caused them to, like, be not a thing versus a thing. And it didn't have to be that. Like, that. Like, what editor was reading this and is like, gold, we're doing it. Like,
so we don't need to change a thing.
Yeah. We need this.
I know.
We need this problem to last for three books, and it won't get solved until the very end.
We're gonna stretch
this
shit way out.
This is great. I don't know. Like, unique. Like, next. So next level. Like, I don't know.
So daring for a YA.
Yeah. like that's my one...
Game of Thrones, but for children. Yes.
Like, that's my one thing. Like, yes, okay, if you want to explore that topic, cool, but you didn't have to do it for three books. Like, it could have just been one and a half, if that. Could have just been a few chapters into book two, and then it was solved.
I read this when I was 17 or 18, and I vividly remember getting to the end of the first book and, like, literally laughing out loud. Like, I busted out laughing because it turns out they're brother and sister or whatever. The reveal happens, and I was like, are you kidding me? This is some soap opera bullshit. Yeah. And I had, like, I literally kept reading because I thought it was so ridiculous, and thank God I did, because it ended up being genuinely good later. But, like, that's not the good, that's not the reason why you want people to keep reading your books.
Yeah. Like, what is going on? It's just like, I wish she would have written it the way the movie did. Like, that, if the movie got anything right, like, they did a lot of stuff wrong, but they did that one thing right, and that's what matters.
I know. I remember seeing the movie and I was like, this is genius, because I was wondering how they were going to do it, and they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then, at the end of this book, all of the books at the end have, like, a little codex thing.
Yeah, mine does too.
I want to say it's an annotated codex thing, but it's annotated by Clary, Jace, and Simon, which is kind of cute.
And
but
also,
I haven't read it.
For anybody who wants to know, I have it up here somewhere. I don't know where exactly it is, but that codex is available to buy. Like, it's a bound hardcover little booklet that you can buy. But... I have it. So, if anybody wants that, you don't have to buy this edition or this special edition set to have that codex. You can just get it online.
This one does have annotations, quote unquote, from Clary, Jason, Simon, which is cute, but I haven't sat down and read them all.
Yeah.
But anyway, this first book has a short story at the end of it, which made me completely die. And it's the first kiss scene, but told from Jace's perspective. Yeah. Oh my god, it's so adorable.
And this is why we love Jace, even though he's kind of problematic.
He talks about how beautiful she is and shit, and then there's a part where, like, she looks at him or something, and it makes him want to blush, and he's just, like, confounded by the fact that he even wants to blush because he's Jace. And I was like, that's so cute. I die.
I love him. See, this is why. I'm going back. I'm changing my mind. He's number one. I haven't even read the short story, and I'm
She'll come out with an annotated version with James, and you'll be like, never mind.
Yeah. But yeah, that's cool. I like all of these little insights for book one. Like, yes, book one is not her best work. It's obviously the intro into the world, but there is some really cool, like, little tidbits in there.
Yeah, there wasn't as much in book one, but there was some good stuff. Like, I liked the bone chandelier and all that stuff.
We got so net-net, we need to go visit New York if anybody wants to house us, and we also need a trip to Paris, also, if anybody wants if anybody out there listening is from New York or Paris and or wants Paris. To take us around and house us and feed us, so we can get Shadowhunter content, we would be grateful. Let us know.
We're forever in your debt.
Yeah.
Please. Book two really brings the annotations, which is really cool. There's some good stuff in here. I also was going through this and did not realize, I just, like, completely forgot book two. Like, mostly all of it except for the end.
What does happen in book two? I don't remember.
I just remember the boat. Well, here, I'll go over part of it. There's an annotation at the beginning that says Max and Isabel are named after Cassie's grandparents, which I thought was cute. R.I.P. Max.
Poor Max!
And then there's a note in here about Clary and Simon when they're dating, and I wrote a note and I said, LOL, remember when Clary and Simon dated for 2 seconds? She said, Clary and Simon, I always loved this relationship, both as friendship and a romance, lol. It was very normal, very ordinary, and reassuring compared to all the drama with Jace. And I was like, would we say we loved that relationship? Because I thought it was terrible, but, you know, whatever.
See, I also think that it's terrible, but I think that, like,
there was something about their vibe together which just made me, like, physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think, again, like, welcome to my TED Talk, we're gonna get into it. But they're a lot better as friends because they're only friends. So when they try to force dating, you're like, Simon, my guy. Like, you're second string, my dude. Like,
this is true,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
Like, you're so obviously the loser.
Yeah,
in this situation.
And then you feel bad. Like, you feel sorry for him because he's trying, and then it's just, like, awkward because she doesn't really want to be there.
And she's leading him on, kind of.
Yeah, and he's just, like, so happy that it's, like, working or that they're trying to make it work. And I'm just like, Simon, come on, guy. Like,
please stop.
Dude, like, have some self-respect.
Isabella's right there.
Like, come on. So it was kind of, like, that's the way that it felt for me. And then he always just, like, after that moment in time where she breaks up with him, you're just like, great, now it's time for whiny Simon. Like,
I know. And he's all, like, I don't know, hurt feelings about it for forever.
Yeah.
Also, now I feel very weird about it, knowing that he kissed Isabel and then they dated.
Yeah. And then,
which I did not know before.
And then later on in the series, he has two girlfriends. And I'm just like, my guy.
Oh my god, I hated that.
My guy.
I was so mad at him for so long. Oh my god, is that book
it's
four?
Like,
I hate
it's
I
like
it.
Like a classic case of when the nerdy guy gets popular because the one cute girl likes him, and then all of the cute girls are like, oh my gosh.
The classic story of, like, when the nerd becomes a vampire and then,
like,
gets both women.
The nerdy guy becomes popular by association of, like, the popular girl, and then he, like, has a big head and he thinks so highly of himself, and he's like, yeah, I'm popular. Mm-hmm. Like, all the girls love me. And you're just like, dude.
I've never been popular before. I didn't know how to say no. Or whatever bullshit excuse they use. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Yep. It's, I don't know if anybody's into 80s movies, but if you like that trope, that storyline, you can watch Can't Buy Me Love.
Watch any.
What's his name? Patrick Dempsey as a young man.
That movie's so cute.
It's cute. Patrick Dempsey, young, so good looking.
Like, God, every 80s movie. I just love all of the, who's the director that died a while ago? Anyway, yeah.
That movie is classic Simon, Izzy, and what's her face? The other girl that I don't remember her name.
He really is
Simon. Maya, Izzy, Simon, like that whole situation. Can't Buy Me Love. Without like the vampire part, obviously. Without the magic.
And then, to go along with that, there's a note later on that says, I always figured Simon and Clary could have worked out if there had never been a Jace or an Isabel. And I was like, lol. No.
I think that it would have been, like, one of those cases of, like, you end up with them because you're not interested in anyone else, so you kind of just, like, fall into
it. And you don't know any better. Yeah. One thing I thought was interesting, there's a whole, I completely forgot this storyline. But at the end of, you know, book one, Valentine, does he kidnap Jace? I can't remember. Valentine has Jace, and then there's the reveal that him and Clary are quote-unquote siblings. And then, you know, everyone knows that Valentine is planning something really bad with the Mortal Instruments. So then in book two, everyone's freaking out that Valentine is back and that he's up to no good again. And Maris, is that how you say her name?
Maris.
I actually don't know.
Maris.
Yeah. She goes to Jace, and she's kind of like a huge bitch to him, and she's like, how could you not know what he was planning? And, you know, he probably told you, and Jace is like, no, he didn't. I didn't know anything. And so they argue about it, and Jace ends up leaving, and he goes to Luke, and he stays with Luke for a while. And so Cassie wrote a little thing that said, I always wanted to touch on this bond between Luke and Jace, that they both loved Valentine, because they get into an argument. And Luke is like, you should go back to Maris and let her know, like, what's going on and how you feel. You should have a conversation with her. And Jace is like, she wants me to tell her that I don't love Valentine and I can't do that because, I mean, despite everything, I sort of do still love him.
Yeah.
And then Luke is like, I loved him before too, so I understand. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. I never thought of it that way, that
That they would, like, understand each other.
They have this weird connection because of Valentine.
I don't think Luke gets enough credit, like, at all in the series because he's everybody's, like, surrogate dad. Like, everybody goes to Luke when there's
problems. I am literally in love with him. Like, he's probably one of my favorite.
Yeah,
like,
he's so low-key and he's just always there. Like, he's the
older I
system.
Get, literally the more in love with him I am. He has a bookstore. He turns into a wolf. He's responsible. He's a good dad to literally everybody. Even kids who aren't his own. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I'll marry you.
He is the real MVP, and I don't think he gets enough credit. And I would also...
He's the alpha of an entire wolf pack?
He takes over a wolf pack to save his kid, like, who's decides, not his kid.
He just, like, decides to take over an entire wolf pack like he's going out to buy milk or something, and then he just does it.
Yeah. He's just like, my kid, who's not my kid, is in trouble. Gotta save her. I'm gonna go and fight this alpha and just, like, take control.
Guess I'll go,
like, I'm gonna go do it.
Yeah. Guess I'll go kill a guy for Clary.
Yeah. Like, come on.
It's so badass.
He's the
best. I love him.
He needs more recognition. I would also die for, like, a young Luke storyline in there of him being, like, the hero. Obviously, we don't want him as a villain, but, like, something.
I wish there was a universe where we could read a romance between him and not Jocelyn. We'd end up with someone else.
Yeah, we need a good love story. We'll just, like, replace her with someone. Fanfic.
Yeah.
Somebody write that for us.
Please and thank you. Okay, and then there's a really cool moment where the Inquisitor comes along and she's asking Jace questions about... just what happened with Valentine, and she is kind of on the same, thinking the same thing as Maris is, like, how could you not know what your dad was planning, and I'm sure he divulged all of his plans to you while you were together and all this stuff, and Jace is like, I don't know anything, what is wrong with you people? Jace says something in Italian, which I am not going to attempt to repeat, but the note says, the Italian Jace speaks here is from Dante. It means essentially, I'm telling you this only because I believe you will never return to the world from hell. It's also the epigraph to T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland.
Interesting.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I like all of the... I like when she translates all
She's so well-read. There are so many other comments that she makes in the later books, too, where she's like, yeah, this means this, and then I'm researching it, and I'm like, oh,
and
this
is like from... And it's, like, references from classic books and
like
stuff.
Yeah, like novels or poetry or, like, plays, and I'm just like, how does one have the time? Like...
I know. And the attention span. I have a problem focusing on classic books.
I do, too, and I don't think that it's... Because of, like, partially the content, because when it's in Shadowhunters, I'm like, wow, that's deep. And then when I try to read it in, like, the actual context of where it came from, I'm just like, this is kind of boring. I'm out.
I know. Oh, wait, I don't care.
Yeah. I only care when Jace talks about it. I don't care when, like, the actual Italian, dead Italian dude says it.
She wrote a note at one point that said, Simon's ever-changing band names were always fun. They came from inside jokes, free association, fridge, poetry, everything. And I thought that was kind of funny.
That is kind of cool. I'm going to jump into one of the comments that she made in the books, that the last three books, because it relates to this. And she said that she had a boyfriend who was in a band who was always changing the names. And that's where that came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that. That's hilarious. Yeah. I would have so much fun if I had to, like, think of random band names all the time. I would take it from weird shit, too.
She just seems so cool. Like, you date all of these, like, cool, kind of weird people. Like, you get to live all over the world. Like, you read all these cool books that everyone else thinks are boring. Like, she just seems like she's just, like, a very cool lady. I just want to be friends.
I know. We need to slide into her DMs.
Cassie, if you're listening, let's be friends, please.
Send me your new book. Send me the arc of your new book. Okay, one page had two comments. I was like, whoa, slow down. And it was, one of them was a comment about how Jace never really fully believed that he was related to Clary, which made me kind of laugh.
I mean, we kind of see that too in like the second and third book.
I thought it was funny because if he never really believed it, he gets awfully emo about it.
Yeah.
Then.
Like the scene where he's like, I just want to lay next to you. Like, is that too much to ask? And I'm just like, yeah, it is if we think we're related. Like.
Later on, I have a comment that she wrote, but it's the scene after the Wayland Manor explodes. And then they're laying in the grass. And he's like, I'm tired of fighting my feelings or whatever the fuck he says.
Yeah.
He's all drama about it. I'm like, oh my God. Dude.
Also, I think it's really funny that she doesn't really talk about the modern, like, human world compared to the Shadowhunter world. And, like, Clary grew up in the normal world. And, like, not once does anyone mention, like, let's get a DNA test. Like, those are things that are easy to find. Like,
that Mundy science can actually help you with.
Like, oh, mundanes don't know anything, but, like, you can definitely get a paternity
you
test.
You can, like, order
and
that online.
Figure out.
Maybe not in 2008,
if you're related.
But come on.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, because, like, Maury existed and, like, Jerry Springer existed. Like,
that's true.
You
that's
are
true.
Not the father. Like, why did it...
Valentine, you are not the father.
You're telling me that Simon, Clary, and then, like, the mom, whenever she gets rescued, like, nobody thought to be like, hey, guys, let's just test this out. This is, like, quick and easy. We'll know in a few weeks. Don't even worry about it.
Jocelyn was asleep, but Luke, come
like,
on.
Luke,
you're well-read. You own a bookstore.
You've lived in the mundane world. You know these things. Come on, guys. Like, problem-solving skills. Logic. Like, nobody was able to just be like, let's swab our cheeks.
Let's call Jerry Springer.
Let's swab some DNA. Let's send our saliva into the testing lab. They'll figure it out for us. Like, all good. Don't worry. Like, nobody can do that.
Ancestry.com, something.
Like, you have all this magic, and there's no magical spell to tell. Like,
okay, yeah, that I want to know. Like,
I just
isn't
like...
there a magical equivalent that Magnus could just, like, whip up?
We're asking the tough questions here. Like, I need to know why this is such a problem when there are literally so many avenues to figure this out.
We say, why did this drag out for three books? For no good reason. Oh, and then on the same page as the one where she's like, Jace never really fully believed that he was related to Clary. There, it says, I think this is the first mention of Jace's star scar that turns out to be so important later. And I was thinking, I don't even remember a star scar. Like, what is that?
Yeah, so the whole lore is that the star scar is a Herondale birthmark. Because when Will and Tessa, like, get together in the dungeons or wherever, they're like trapped, remember? And then like sleep together.
Is that when they almost get it on?
Yes, and they do. I think like it happens, and then like they actually fall asleep, yeah. And Magnus is like, is this really,
I forgot about that,
is this really the time to be doing this? I think you guys should be decent. And they fall asleep, and her angel necklace like lands on his shoulder or something like that, and like when he wakes up he has star mark, and so the star mark is now like passed down, and all of the Herondales have the mark, and that's how,
holy shit, I never connected that together. Yes,
and that's how the Inquisitor realizes that he's not Valentine's, because
there's a scene later where she's like, oh shit,
yeah, she was the wife, right? I forget how they're related. The grandma she's,
I don't know, I didn't read that deep into it this time, I can't remember.
She's related to him somehow, or she knows the lore, and so they're like battling and she sees it and she's like, oh my god, but then she dies so she can't tell him anything.
Yeah. Infuriatingly.
Yes. So she can't. Yeah, they're tell on
the
him.
Boat, and I read the scene where she pulls him aside, and she's like, "That star birthmark on your shoulder." And he's like, "Yeah, what about it?" And she's like, "You really didn't know who your father was, or whatever." And he's like, "Bitch, I told you." Basically, I mean, he doesn't say bitch, but he's like, "I told you that earlier." Yeah. He's like, "Bitch, I told you that earlier. Why are you dragging me out?" He literally is like, "Why are we talking about this right now in the middle of a battle?"
Yes, and then she dies.
And I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, I do remember those random scenes, but that's like the, it comes back around in the Infernal Devices, where it starts there, and then continues into Mortal Instruments, but then comes back around because
we didn't. Oh my god, I haven't thought about that scene where they get jiggy with it in a dungeon. Yeah,
and she has the angel necklace, and supposedly there was, like, actually an angel, like, locked in there, and that's why it has, like, a life of its own. Something or other. I don't think that's something like 100% accurate, but there's something, and so like the star is like a passed down, it's like magical blessed, somehow, yeah, like that, something like that.
Okay, where did I leave off? Oh, there's a part where Clary falls asleep, and she has a dream, and she's walking on, I thought this was weird because I don't remember her having like prophetic dreams at all.
I don't either.
But she falls asleep and she dreams that she's walking on this mirrored, what looks like a lake, but she's walking on it. So, and then like these bright balls of fire or light start dropping from the sky and she's like, oh my god. But one of them turns into Jace and he has white wings. And then he points to something behind her and she turns around and it's what Cassie says is Sebastian, but we don't know it's Sebastian yet.
Yeah.
And he has dark hair and black blood-tipped wings. I was like, that's kind of badass. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
But she writes a note and she said, our first hint that Sebastian exists. I think it's interesting that Clary is dreaming about him with dark hair because he doesn't have dark hair. That ends up being fake. But anyway.
Yeah. Maybe it was, since it's kind of prophetic, maybe it was, like, supposed to be a sign for her that she obviously didn't read into.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, where she's like, oh, I saw that guy in a dream. He's bad. He had black wings and blood. But, like, she was too dumb to care because, like, she's
to
only,
to connect the dots.
Yeah, because she's only worried
in the
about,
dream,
like,
she's like, is that Simon? And I'm like, bitch, Simon would never look that
badass. Yeah, like, she only cares about her mom and Jace and, like, being an idiot and running into things, like, without thinking about them. Like
being an idiot.
Yeah, like that was like, if there's one key takeaway about me whenever I reread these books, like as I get older, it's that I get more and more annoyed with the way that Clary handles the situation she's in, because she never really thinks things through. it's always everybody else being like, maybe we should, like, do things differently. And she's like, no.
Let's stop and talk Simon about this is a rat.
Simon's missing. And then, like,
we have to go into this huge lair filled with vampires.
And then, like, gets everybody else in trouble and everybody else goes into danger for her.
And almost did.
Yeah, like, no, I'm gonna go into this city and, like, sneak in even though I've never been here before in my life. And I'm just like, Clary, calm down. Like, yeah, your mom is missing, and, like, your life's turned upside down, but, like, maybe take a beat. Like, start thinking
and, like,
through.
Talk, maybe, like, talk through a plan yeah. with the people who know what they're
like,
doing.
Maybe if she was a little bit, like, more settled, she would have realized, like, hey, I'm dreaming about stuff. That's not normal. Like, maybe I should, like, tell somebody. Maybe I should write it down in my journal. I'm an artist. Maybe I should draw this man just in case he comes around.
Anyway, we digress.
I have thoughts, obviously.
Fuck you, Clary. I'm just filled with rage for no reason.
Clary, we love you. Maybe you could have just been, like, a little bit more thoughtful.
She turns out okay, yeah. but for a while in the beginning.
Yeah, you turn out fine, but, like, you had us going through some issues in those first few books. Yeah, you went through some things.
All right. The next one that I have written down is there's a part where Luke and Maya get hurt by a demon. And I don't remember this at all. So I don't have the context for why they get hurt or what happens. But Luke and Maya are hurt. And the gang, of course, calls Magnus like every generation before them did. Because Magnus has been saving these poor fucking idiots
for like his whole life.
50 years.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years. The poor guy is probably just exhausted. But he's like, why can't I shake these fucking idiots? They call Magnus and he heals Maya and Luke. And he mentioned, God forbid, the poor guy wants to get paid. And they're all like, what? You're charging us? But you're a friend of Luke's. Oh, my God. And he's like, yeah, I want to get paid. This is my job. Ugh, I was laughing. But Jace makes a comment. And he's like, but you're the one who's dating one of our friends or something. And Alex starts freaking out. He's like, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And Jace is like, I didn't say it was you, but good to know that you just made it really obvious. And Cassie wrote a note that said, lots of people have asked why Jace mentions Alec dating Magnus. Is he trying to upset Alec? No, not at all. He really assumes everyone knows. To him, it's obvious. Which I loved. I was like, that's such a Jace thing. So that made me laugh. And then there's that whole scene with where they go to the Sealy Queen. I forget why they go to the fairies, but they go to the Sealy Queen and then she makes them kiss. She makes Jace and Clary kiss. And Cassie makes a throwaway comment like, oh, this was so painful for everybody or something. Like, yeah, we know. Yeah. But when he's there, or when they're all there, the Sealy Queen tells Jace to ask Valentine what blood runs through his veins. So when he finally sees Valentine again, he asks him what blood runs through his veins. And Valentine says, it is the way of the folk. Everything they say has more than one meaning. Tell her, if she asks again, that the blood of the angel runs through your veins. And Cassie wrote a note that said, when Valentine tells Jace the blood of the angel runs in his veins, he means it in a very direct way. Jace isn't just a descendant of Raziel. He literally has angel blood. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even, like, realize put that together before. Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
And I think it's, him being super smart. Because Valentine is evil and he's a douche too. But, like, you know that he's smart enough to have his workarounds. Like,
yeah.
He knows that her question is not meant to be like, oh, you have angel blood. It's meant to be like, you're actually not my son. But he is, like, skirting the question by being, yeah, you have angel blood in your veins. Like, I'm not lying to you.
I'm technically telling the truth. Chapter 17 is called East of Eden. And Cassie wrote a note that said East of Eden is where Cain is exiled in the Bible, which I did not know. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's wild. She also has a lot of, like, tying it back to the second half of the series, the comments that she makes on religion is that because she's not Christian in any way. She's Jewish, which I didn't know, but she ties a lot of her, she's made comments that she didn't want her angels and demons and, like, all of her kind of biblical tie-ins to be Christian, so she makes comments or makes her angels say specific things, or, like, she ties things back so that way it's not obviously just Christian. Like, they can be Jewish angels, they can be Christian angels, they can be, like, everybody's angels, and I was like, that's kind of cool.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I know, I noticed that she did that with vampires, like vampires can't say God or whatever, like, no matter what religion you are, they can't say anything pertaining to their own religion, and I thought
like
that, cool.
Yeah, I like that view of, like, it's just everybody's religion.
Whatever you believe in, yeah. she writes a note. This is, like, one of my favorite parts, too, of, like, the entire series, when Simon is, like, starving for blood, and then Jace gives him his blood. And then when Simon finally, like, wakes up from being in a blood haze, he says, "I could have killed you," and Jace responds with, "I would have let you." And Cassie said, "This is one of my favorite pieces of dialogue. Jace saves Simon's life, risking his own, partly for Clary, but partly because he knows Simon's a good person and it's the right thing to do." I was like, I love that part. We have the same favorite part.
That is a good scene.
It just always, them together, just their dynamic always cracks me the fuck up.
I do like the seeing the transition between, like, I hate your guts, to, like, okay, you're kind of annoying, but, like, we can work together, and then they're friends, but they still have, like, that teasing element to it, where they're like, are you seriously teasing me about this?
The banter.
Like, yeah.
Okay, this one I thought was really cool. Clary, there's the part at the end when their battle's going on, they're on the boat, and Clary is trying, she uses her power in front of Valentine for the first time, and she creates an open rune on the ship that ends up, like, making it fall apart. Yep. But Clary makes the rune in front of Valentine, and then Simon asks what it means, and Valentine responds with what I think is Latin. I don't know, don't quote me on that, but he says, oh, I'm not gonna say this correctly, but it looks like mean tekel,
I think it's mene tekel,
mene, yeah, tekel ufarsin, I don't know. We need Ronan Lynch here. He would know. But Cassie wrote a note that the words that appeared on the wall at Belshazzar's feast in the book of Daniel, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end, which is what the words mean. Valentine sees his own doom in Clary's power. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
That is really cool.
I didn't know that.
Also, I googled because I am a true Virgo, and it's Aramaic.
Oh, okay. I don't really know what that means.
It's Aramaic, not Latin. It's like the language that he's saying.
No, I know, but what is Aramaic?
Let's look. Aramaic. I know the Bible, like the original Bible, is written in Aramaic. No, I don't know. Semitic language,
no,
a Syrian dialect of which was used as a lingua franca in the Near East from the 6th century BC. It gradually replaced Hebrew as the language of the Jewish people in those areas and was itself supplanted by Arabic in the 17th century AD.
Oh, okay.
A Semitic language family.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's Aramaic from the Bible.
There you go.
See, Cassie's teaching us history,
so many
language,
things.
Religion.
She's a genius.
Like, everyone needs to read these books so that way they can learn all these things.
Yeah. And then I thought it was cool. The last thing that I have written down for book two is that when the sun rises after the boat battle and Simon ends up, he survives the sun rising.
Mm-hmm.
Cass, that's one of the first scenes she planned for the book.
That's cool.
Him surviving.
Yeah.
Him surviving the sun. So I thought that was cool.
Interesting. Okay, well, we got through the first two books. That was actually a lot. We have more opinions and thoughts on the Mortal Instruments than I thought we would. So we are going...
I'm not surprised.
I know. I shouldn't have been surprised. I shouldn't have over or underestimated our ability to talk about Shadowhunter books for this long. So we're going to stop this episode here after book two. We will pick up on part two to talk about books three and four maybe next weekend. Maybe we'll give it a break. We'll decide, but we'll see everyone hopefully soon. Don't forget to follow us on social. We are at Emo Girls Guide on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the things.
Fable.
Pinterest, Fable. We'll be starting up our book club soon. Don't forget to check us out. We'll also link out any of the books or movies, even the special edition set that we are referencing, just in case anybody is curious. So check the description for any of those items. But until then, we will see you next weekend, and we hope that you have some main character energy today.
Main character energy.